recently, our company softball team lost the big game by one run. Then Dale tried to console us with the quote, "Winning isn't everything." Dale's a loser. I play to win, like early payout from Bet365. If my team goes up big, I get paid out instantly, even if they blow the lead later.
Sound familiar, Dale?
Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin.
Welcome to hour two. And this news broke yesterday afternoon. Inside the NBA is moving to ESPN. There was some fear that this show would go away because of the NBA no longer having TNT as a broadcast partner after this upcoming year. It was supposed to be this going away thing all year. Charles has made jokes about that. But they're going to ESPN. The big news, at least for people who love the content of that show, is TNT, or at least the NBA, inside the NBA, producers, performers, writers, all that stuff, they're going to keep control. ESPN won't have a say. It'll just be on their network. So if we're thinking forward, thinking about this for 2025, 26, does that mean I can tune in and not have Stephen A. Smith on the show? Does that mean Shannon won't appear on the show if they want to keep it like it is? Like, they've actually had like a crossover thing before where they were simulcast on each other's networks. Stephen A. from his studio, or not studio, their own location someplace. Stephen A. from the I forgot where they were. I think they might have been in San Francisco for a Warriors game, something like that. Or maybe it was the finals, don't remember. But they've done that before. But if I can keep him off, if I can keep Greeny off, I don't want any of those guys filtering over to that show. Keep it the same. Those four plus whatever bits they like to do, all the same. ESPN, you stay away and let Charles, let Shaq, let Kenny do their thing. That's perfect. They stay around, and ESPN keeps their little fingers off of it. That's all we're looking for. I found this because it started circulating when the news broke, that there's a clip of those guys talking about potentially ever working for ESPN. And needless to say, Charles had no interest. But now, at least in some ways, he is working for them.
They're going to work me like a dog and not pay me. Four straight
wins for Golden State.
Why wouldn't you go to ESPN?
They're not going
to
work me like a dog and not pay me.
I'm just saying. Hey, the things that happen on this show.
ESPN 1, 2, 3. ESPN News. ESPN U. ESPN Radio. And then come up with that little puny
thing. Nothing.
You wake up.
I'm telling you,
nothing good happens after 1:15 in the morning.
ESPN Deportes. They have me on ESPN Deportes and say, move me in, Grosky. La Machacha, Amelito.
Hey, you have been working on it, haven't you? Thank you, Rosetta Stone.
All right. Ernie.
The only thing that could possibly...
You see them guys, you wake up, you see the same.
There will be no Charles appearances on ESPN Deportes, but do I foresee a chance he winds up on First Take at some point? Feel like that could happen. It's being put into the category of a right swap where ESPN will get inside the NBA from TNT. It's almost like when Netflix pulls like an international show that has run someplace in Europe and they bring it over here where you see the Netflix branding, but they have nothing to do with the content. This is what this is supposed to be. And TNT will get the rights to broadcast football games, Big 12 football games. So less of those on ESPN's So if you're watching BYU in Kansas on Saturday, maybe that game doesn't go to ESPN when this begins. Maybe it winds up on TNT. So that's kind of what it is. And can we just keep all the ESPN personalities off? I'm trying to think if I would even want anyone over. Nah, just keep the show the way it is. It's perfect the way it is, and we keep it moving. And if that's what we're getting, and we get the show to stay, great. Can't complain about that. Although I got a feeling ESPN's going to use it to turn it into a commercial for their other stuff. That's how they treated the finals at halftime. So we'll see. We'll see how much control TNT, who will be producing it, keeps as we go forward. But that'll start for 25-26 as a licensing deal. Hopefully it stays that way. Okay. As we move on, I did want to get to this before we wrap it up. We talk about the Rockets and a potential Giannis trade. That's allegedly something they're looking into, or will be monitoring if Giannis ever decides I want out of Milwaukee. The Rockets do play them tonight, and what we think is the centerpiece of the deal is Alperen Şengün. Alperen Şengün has had, after some questions about what was wrong with him, because Ime wasn't playing him in fourth quarters, he hadn't played up to his potential. That has certainly not been the case recently. He has been a star for the Rockets in their five-game winning streak. We're talking about a guy who had two triple-doubles in a row, 20 points last night. And 20 points doesn't sound like a lot, but he only played 26 minutes. They didn't need him out there, as the Bulls pretty much quit at some point between maybe the four-minute mark of the second quarter and obviously the rest of the third. The Bulls decided they had had enough of this. They weren't going to be competitive, and the Rockets took advantage. So if you look at Şengün, and obviously these are all Rockets wins in the last five, 27 against the Pistons, 27 against the Wizards, a light night against the Clippers, 13-11 in the first game. And then the second Clipper game had 16-10 and then 20-11 against the Bulls. But remember, going back to that first Clipper game, he was quiet, and then he went on a stretch where he faked the handoff and dunked it and then blocked the shot to put the game away. He was big down the stretch in that one as the Clippers were trying to get back in it. So while the numbers aren't crazy, he played a big part in that game and put the game away. And, of course, the last couple nights. So Alperen Şengün, we've heard him. In fact, there's a sounder over there where he says he dominates in the paint. But he did speak to what this team is right now and where they can go.
Are you guys executing differently than you were a couple weeks ago offensively?
I mean, I think we've been good all season. This season we've been good. Everybody helping each other back, you know. Everybody, like, talking, helping each other. I mean, it's just like we are a great team right now, you know. We're doing the teamwork, offense, defense, everything. So that's a part of it.
Early in the game, you guys were getting a lot of layups that weren't going. Were you feeling good that you're getting them or concerned that they were missing?
I mean, they were right place, and shots going to miss. We're going to make it. It's just, you know, and later in the game, we make those. Beginning of the game, we missed those. We don't care. We play the right way, and we do great defense, and energy comes from there. And we never, you know, we miss the shots, but we never go down. So let's come at it.
How important is it to turn defense into offense? That's something Ime has talked about a lot.
I mean, I think that's all basketball about, you know. It's about winning and doing great defense, getting energy from there, running, and playing the right way. Just, you know, we love playing defense, like all of us, you know.
That's a team who you want to, and I want to credit them for this, for a young team to not allow bad shooting to affect the way they play defense. I would say it's unique. You watch young teams around the league, and if their shot's not going in, the defense suffers. And I don't even want to limit it to young teams. There are teams who are built defense first, and that defense generates energy on the offensive end, as Şengün talked about. And there are other teams who, if they're not knocking down shots, it shows on the defensive end. And the Rockets aren't that way. They're not built that way. That's a credit to the players they drafted and Ime Udoka and what he wants them to be. Their style of play is, we ain't great in half court unless we're playing the Bulls, which they were great in half court last night. But what we want to do is run, force bad shots, and take advantage of situations and play early in the shot clock if we can. I don't want the Rockets having long possessions. Those are the ones that get bogged down, where you find yourself taking contested jump shots, whether it be long twos or bad looks from three. When they can get into early stuff because they're playing with energy on the defensive end, and whether they're taking advantage of guys not getting back on the opposing team or just running and getting into offense early, that's when they've been at their best this year. And it came full circle last night. They did everything they wanted to from the defensive end to the offense end. They don't shoot the ball well from three. They didn't last night either, but it did not matter. The defense was so good that the Bulls, as I said, pretty much quit on that game about midway through that second quarter. Rockets outscored them 41-26, and then another 40-26 in the third. And then it was, hey, who wants to get in? The only person who didn't get in was Cam Whitmore. That was considered a coach's decision. I thought he was still in the G League, but if he was up, at least according to the box score, he didn't get in because Ime decided not to put him in. But everyone else on the roster played. All right, Rockets 10-4. They've got the Bucks tonight. The way the Bucks are playing, that should be 11-4. Now they do have Giannis, but the Bucks are beat up injury wise, and there's not a lot of confidence there either. Now, of course, if Giannis goes for like 45-15, then who knows how that game goes? But this is the chance to stretch this winning streak to six. The Bucks are a 3.5-point favorite. Dame Lillard is a game time decision. So he may play. So is Giannis, by the way. He's a game time decision, but I don't think he's expected to be out if you consider what the line is right now. But who knows? Those two guys sit out, then you're definitely looking at a 6-game winning streak for the Rockets. We'll see as we get closer and closer to game time. We will come back with if you love Lamar Jackson, you're not going to love him against the Steelers or in the playoffs. There's some numbers there, and it continued yesterday. I don't know what it is. The Steelers, coached by Mike Tomlin, are really good, but the Lamar against the Steelers thing is weird. They're his kryptonite, and they play him twice a year, and the Steelers, for as mediocre as they have been, really since Ben Roethlisberger got washed, they played Lamar Jackson. Now, he's been hurt for some of those games. He's been out. Thankfully for him, the last couple of years, he's been healthy. But they've kind of handled him, and that continued yesterday, even with that Russ awful interception. If you haven't found it, go type in Arthur Smith on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. Find Arthur Smith and watch his face after the Russ pick. If you missed it, I think they're up 15-10 at the time, the Steelers were, and it was third and goal. Russ is scrambling around, nothing there. Maybe I think it was third, maybe it wasn't, but he was scrambling around looking for an outlet. He just throws like a moon ball, except this moon ball was like 5 yards down the field instead of the ones he throws to George Pickens. Sails over the tight end's head, Washington, and it gets picked off. It almost gives the Ravens some hope and some life. Of course, Justin Tucker kept missing field goals, and they go for two when they're down 18-16 and don't get it. And the Steelers are able to hold on. But if you are looking for some comedy, type in Arthur Smith. You'll find his face, and his reaction to Russell Wilson, who has been pretty good for the Steelers, is really funny. But I'll get you those numbers from Lamar Jackson against the Steelers in the playoffs, and I believe against the Chiefs. Now you have to take this with a grain of salt. The numbers are real, but consider where they come from. Nick Wright is a giant Chiefs fan. He won't take anyone slandering his great quarterback, and rightfully so, Patrick Mahomes. So he had some stats ready for Lamar Jackson fans. And like I said, yesterday was an agenda day. If you are a Herbert fan or a Burrow fan or believe in Lamar Jackson, yesterday was your day, unless your team lost or your player or your quarterback played poorly. Then it wasn't your day. So we'll get into that when we come back. Sam told me not to eavesdrop because I heard a conversation. Well, Sam, you're going to be producing the show at some point, so I think I should be aware of what's going on. I didn't know you were going to sit in, and now she's in there. So she is the random person sitting behind the producer today, as opposed to AJ, who did that the last couple of days we were here. All right, we'll get the numbers from Lamar Jackson against the best teams he's facing, or at least his rivals, and we'll get into an Astros name change. I'm not sure why there needs to be a media event for that, but there was one. So we'll tell you the new name for the Astros home. Yes, I did stutter. I'm allowed to. Don't text me during the middle of the show. Sam will be my producer at some point, and I'm sure that'll go great for me. We'll be back.
You're listening to The Dale Show on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Dale. Dell, no, that's okay. That's on me. I went more country with it. My bad, Dell.
We had retired that one, but it's back. I don't blame AJ. I don't know why Sean even has it on his page, but it is what it is. Thank you, Michael Carroll, the host of Comicast. And he does a weekly segment with us when he's available, generally on Fridays. Okay, the numbers behind Lamar Jackson's performances against the Steelers, you would call them his chief rival, or the Bengals have stepped up, but Ravens-Steelers are now historical rivalry. Been years of tough 20-17 type games. We got another one yesterday, 18-16. So the Steelers, the Chiefs, and the playoffs. AJ, if you had to guess, what do you think Lamar Jackson's numbers are? Or I'll start with this. What do you think his record is in those games? If I gave you 16 games he's played, Chiefs, Steelers, playoffs, what do you think his record would be?
Just
considering two-time MVP, all that Lamar Jackson is, what do you think his record would be?
Well, I already know that his record now against the Steelers is 1-4. Chiefs, yeah. Dang, if I had to guess, I would say maybe 2 and...
Out of 16 games.
Oh, out of 16?
Yeah.
Because the Chiefs and Steelers?
Chiefs, Steelers, and playoffs. All combined.
Oh, okay. So he has 2 playoff wins. I already know that. He's 2-4. So, are you including the Chiefs regular season too? Or just playoffs?
Chiefs, regular season, playoffs, all of it.
Okay. So I think it's 3 and... Out of 16. 3 and 13?
You're disrespecting him. He's 4-12.
Oh, okay.
Barely disrespecting him, but he's 4-12. He's got a passer rating of 75, more turnovers than TDs. He's been bad. He's been bad against, let's just say, the biggest games in his career. Now, Lamar Jackson has been spectacular in others. You saw what he did against the Bengals this past week before Sunday. But overall, not been great. And he's one of those guys it depends. If you're a Lamar Jackson guy, you're going to defend him until the end. You're going to look at Greg Roman as the OC or the lack of receivers, all the things that you can use to either demean a quarterback or hype him up. Like Lamar is the system. He is the system. It's built around him. Anything that Baltimore does depends on him being great. The unfortunate part for him is, at least right now, look, he's not even 28 years old, still a young quarterback. Although we like to fast forward quarterbacks and they have to be multiple time champions and have lots of playoff success or their failures, and we can start to rip them before they even turn 30. That wasn't a thing before. Now it's a thing. Maybe we thank Patrick Mahomes for that, him changing the way we view quarterbacks, considering how much success he's had at a young age. But for Lamar, despite maybe going into yesterday, the favorite to win another MVP, he will be judged by non-Lamar guys or people. Let's be gender equitable people and say, do it in the playoffs, Lamar. Do it against the best teams you face when it matters most. And that's a tough thing to swallow, but you're the quarterback of one of the premier franchises in football, and you have not performed well enough for people to stop saying that. And for whatever reason, Mike Tomlin and his mastery over Lamar continues. And do we start to look at John Harbaugh a little bit? John Harbaugh's teams have been the best in football regular season-wise, at least one of the best in football regular season-wise over the course of his tenure. Now, he does have the one title that happened back in 12 with Joe Flacco. But since that point, you would say the Ravens have not lived up to their potential in the playoffs. From when the Titans beat them with Ryan Tannehill to last year when you had a home game and you had the Chiefs right where you wanted them. Your defense played well enough to win that game. Your offense didn't do enough. And there have been years where Lamar's been hurt and couldn't finish years, so you don't blame him for that. But that's a Ravens team who's now 7-4, a game and a half behind the Steelers. They have one more game against them at home. They're obviously going to have to win that one. But I don't think the Ravens thought themselves were going to be fighting for positioning in the wild card. Right now, they're actually behind the Chargers by half game because the Chargers are 7-3. So right now, as a sixth seed, they would be facing, I believe it's the Steelers again, because the Bills have played one more game than the Steelers, even though they're tied in a loss column. But the Steelers are 8-2, while the Bills are 9-2. So the Ravens have to get it together. They don't have the Bengals to play anymore. The Steelers do have to play them twice. Of course, that offense for the Bengals is dangerous, so that could help determine the seeding and the chase for the AFC North. But Lamar is one of those guys who can be great, but he looked very average. But the guy who you got to call into question is Justin Tucker. What happened to Justin Tucker? He missed multiple field goals that the Justin Tucker we knew would have made, and the Ravens win that game. Instead, they don't. And now they're fighting. I'm not saying they're fighting for the playoffs. The bottom of the AFC as far as playoff positioning is bad. The Broncos are at 6-5. You got Dolphins at 4-6. The Colts at 5-6. The Bengals at 4-7. So the Ravens are making the playoffs. But three straight road games in a year where you thought you could win the Super Bowl, that's not what they're looking for. And they're one of those teams who, not where the Texans are as far as not playing up to their potential, but when you have a bad loss to the Raiders early and then you throw this one in there, all of a sudden your season gets a lot tougher if you've got to travel to maybe the Texans, but at least the Bills and the Chiefs, you look like you're going to have to go play on the road if you want to get to where you want to go, unless there's an upset. So that's why this stretch of games for the Texans is so important. You win these three, you're 9-4. And you can start to seriously contemplate your seeding. If we think the Steelers will drop a couple, now you're back out of the definite I'm a four seed. And now you're talking about, could I be a three? You do have the win over the Bills. They do have a two game. They're two games up in the loss column over you. But if they slip somewhere, some way, you have the head-to-head. So there is a path to probably the two seed. And hell, the Chiefs have to slip up a lot now, but you have a game against them too. I will push the one seed stuff aside. But if you can be 9-4 after you play the Cowboys, the Titans, and the Jags, then we can start to talk about maybe you get two home games as opposed to a definite one and then traveling to see if you can get to an AFC title game. So big stretch for the Texans. You don't want to drop one of these and then completely take yourself out of the conversation of having at least two home games in the playoffs. Okay, we got a couple more segments to go before we are done for the day. But first, I want to welcome Super Happy Incredible Toys to the show. Yes, I know that name is long, and maybe you think it's a little funny, but they want you to remember it. They want you to think about the joy you had when you played with action figures, toys, whatever you want to call them. They've been a long-standing member in Houston. And they're having an event. I went out there a couple weeks ago to check them out. It's a vintage toy store. They have new toys. They have old classic Street Fighter II, the arcade game in the building that you can play. It's pretty cool to go out there. I checked them out, and you guys should check them out too. But what they have going on right now is a big event with St. Arnold Brewery on December 1st. That's Sunday, or a Sunday. It's an all-ages event, which will combine the amusement of a toy show and creativity of an art market with the opportunity to purchase many examples of both. So if you want to go out there and check them out, or maybe you want to make a purchase, it'll be December 1st. And if that wasn't enough, people will be dressed up as this year's, it'll be dressed up as a Christmas party. So you want to go out there and enjoy a Christmas party with St. Arnold? Go out there. Why not? Check out the toys, check out the beer. It's all there for you. They encourage people to take advantage of the venue and visit St. Arnold's Beer Garden and sample the delicious food and, of course, enjoy your choice of the many beers. Check them out. So mark your calendars and jingle all the way to the Super Happy Toys Show, Art Market, and Christmas Party. We'll see you there. Remember, it's free admission, free parking, and free pictures with Santa from 12 to 4, courtesy of Comicpalooza CP365. So a lot of information, but the big stuff that you need to know, December 1st, 2024, partnering with St. Arnold Brewery. That's at 2000s Lion Avenue. So check that out. Super Happy Incredible Toys and St. Arnold Brewery, giving you something for the kids and for yourself, December 1st on Sunday.
live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Del Olalea.
We'll get more into college football tomorrow, but the big games of the weekend were in the SEC. You had South Carolina winning a great one. They held off Missouri. Missouri, Luther Burden made a great play down the sideline. One-handed catch to give Missouri a late lead, but Lenora Sellers, A&M knows about Sellers in that South Carolina offense. He went right down the field. They scored to win that game. So Eli Drinkwitz and his dreams of keeping his team, that's head coach of Missouri, his dreams of keeping the Missouri Tigers in the playoff chase, like you said, after their win against Oklahoma, are done for. They have now lost three games in the SEC. They're out of the race. South Carolina still in it. And the other game of the night was the, or at least to kind of close out the night, was Georgia versus Tennessee. It was a nice bounce back for Carson Beck. He was bad over the last couple weeks, and he was bad to start. He was very frustrated, shaking his head, and then they got it going. He hit his tight ends, and he kept making throws down the seam, and he found holes in that Tennessee defense. Tennessee is a odd team to me. They have a really good defense. Their offense just doesn't show up on a game-by-game basis, and it's partly to do with the step up in competition. This was a team who lit up the nation in out-of-conference play and non-conference play. But since that point, once they've gotten in SEC play, they've had issues hitting the deep ball, catching passes overall. Nico Iamaliava has struggled on occasion. They've just been an offense that's kind of short-circuited. Dylan Sampson's a good back, but their passing game isn't what people thought it would be, and it's hurt them. They had chances to get some distance from Georgia, but Georgia's defense found a way to keep them in it until the Georgia offense showed up. So that game goes Georgia's way, and they're firmly still in the playoff chase, and they likely will be the team that either A&M or Texas sees in the SEC title game. With both teams having one loss, obviously one of them's going to lose, and I believe Georgia's sitting there with one loss in the SEC. Actually, they've lost. I take that back. They've lost to Alabama and Ole Miss. But so that's let me pull that back. But it looks like Georgia has a real shot to be the team waiting for either A&M and or Texas, which I guess will be fun to beat Texas or A&M 1 week and then have Georgia waiting for you, because I believe Georgia's done with their SEC play. So it's just Georgia. They've got their customary SEC game where they don't play anyone just like all the other SEC schools do. And then they have Georgia Tech. So Georgia's likely going to be 10-2 waiting for A&M or Texas, whoever wins that game. You look at the standings right now, A&M and Texas both with one loss, 5-1 overall. Georgia finishes up their schedule at 6-2. Ole Miss is 4-2, and they have the tiebreaker. So they're still, at least over Georgia, the head-to-head. So they're still in it, but it could be like four teams with two losses in the SEC, or a fifth team when you throw in the loser of A&M Texas if those two don't lose another SEC game before their final matchup. So we got a chance for some chaos down the stretch in the SEC, but at this point, you might want to bank on the A&M Texas winner seeing Georgia. But there's still a lot to play for, so we'll see how it all shakes out. So what came out of the game afterwards was Kirby Smart whining. Kirby Smart, after winning, was not happy with the perception of the conference that he resides in. He's pretty much said, I don't know what the committee is looking at. This comes off the back of being out of the rankings because of their loss to Ole Miss. They were the first team out. And I would say to Kirby Smart, the benefit of playing in your conference, no matter what you think the perception people have of it is, you can lose games and still be considered in it and then just win a game. Win the game against Tennessee and you're right back in it. So the strength of your conference that you're leaning into and why it's so tough compared to the other conference is the same reason you get to lose two games, win a game again, and then be right back in it. So I'm not sure what you're whining about other than the second week of rankings having you out, as if you don't know that winning would have put you back in. So what did you want? If you lost three games, did you still want to be in? How many losses would it take to keep your Georgia team out? Three, four, then you didn't deserve it? Like, you had two losses. You weren't completely out of it, and we'll see on Tuesday. Well, tomorrow. We'll see tomorrow. You beat Tennessee. You're going to be in the rankings. Stop complaining. I didn't get his approach after the game. Hell, I didn't get his approach all week, the whining about it. When you're going to have every opportunity. That's why I asked, how many losses would it take for an SEC team to realistically believe they didn't deserve? Four? Because two, with the opportunity to get right back in it, was enough to open him up and get him to whine. And even after winning a game, he still took issue with not being in the top 12. Why should a three-loss team be in the playoff? We're giving 12 spots. Some of them are automatic, but you're getting 12 spots. If you lose three games, you don't have anything to complain about. I'm sure at some point there will be a three-loss team in this playoff if it doesn't expand any further. But at this point, just win your games. How about we just win? If you win games, you don't have to worry about it. And be thankful. If it wasn't a 12-team playoff and it was a four-teamer like it was last year, you'd be out again, no matter how strong your conference is. So the conferences have expanded, the playoffs have expanded, and it gives teams like Georgia, who think they're real national title teams, chances to lose games and then win games and play for a title at some point. And hell, he may even be playing for an SEC title in December. So it's that time of the year. Coaches will be stumping. They'll be campaigning. And really, all you got to do is win football games, and you don't have anything to worry about. Go win. You know who won? SMU. They beat Boston College in a struggle, but they won. And they still likely won't be in these rankings. But they know if they go out and win the ACC, they're getting in as an automatic qualifier. And Georgia may still have that opportunity too, along with like four or five other teams in the SEC. So be on the lookout. I guess I should have expected it. With more teams capable of making a playoff, there will be more coaches whining about their position. So if you look at it right now, I think you look at the SEC, there are likely, if we include South Carolina, who, because of their hot streak, even with three losses, thinks they should be considered, there are probably about seven SEC teams who believe they have a real shot of making the playoff. Some better chances than others. But we're coming down the stretch, and Oregon escapes, and they're still going to be number one. Ohio State will be number two after their convincing win over Northwestern. And we'll see how the rest of the teams fare as we get those rankings tomorrow. We got one more segment here to go on the show. AJ is here with me. Sean will be back tomorrow. Sean's busy, I guess. I'll get to some of your tweets. And people responded to the Giannis thing. And we'll talk about Lamar. Got a couple of tweets about that, too. So one more segment. We will be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Minute Maid Park is no longer Minute Maid Park. That name has changed. I think people somehow took a picture of the name change because I guess they were getting ready for today's event and people were at a certain spot in the city. They could see into Minute Maid Park and see on the scoreboard or the video board, excuse me, that there was a Daikin or Daikin. I think that's how it's pronounced. A Daikin graphic up on the video board, and that lets you know. That is no longer Minute Maid Park. It is no. You can still call the juice box if you like, but I guess we have to find some indoor cooling variation of juice box because that's what it is now. They had their announcement today. The media was out there. I'm not sure why I needed a media presence or an announcement. Would a press release have done just as well? But I'm sure the people at Daikin wanted that type of press, so they got it. The media was out there talking about the new name. 15-year deal. 15-year deal. It's Daikin. I just listened to it on my computer. Daikin is the name of the company. So when you head up to Minute Maid Park in April this upcoming season, you'll have a new name. The building will have a new name. You'll have to get used to it. I think a lot of people are just going to keep calling it Minute Maid. I think the transition from Enron to Minute Maid was easy. People were like, oh, we'll just call it Minute Maid. I'm not sure that'll be the case this time around. And, of course, questions were asked about what was going to be in the, or at least on the train, because it used to be, you know, oranges. What are they going to use? Don't think it's going to be AC units, but that's supposed to be a surprise. We will find out what that engineer is going to be tugging behind him in the near future, I guess. So get used to it, everyone. We got it. We got a new name. It's been a long-standing agreement with Minute Maid. I'm trying to think, 15 years is a long time. I guess Heinz Field was maybe that long around there, but for the most part, at least in today's world, those things flip pretty constantly. Toyota Center's been around a long time too, so we've had some long-standing. Of course, we know Reliant had a name change during the NRG thing, so get used to it, everybody. Didn't have the same appeal. Minute Maid was cool. Even though it's just an orange juice company or just a produce company overall. But now I'm sure there'll be tie-ins with ACs, and will they be giving away free service to the, who knows how they'll try to make that work. But Daikin is the new name of where the Astros will play. And speaking of the Astros, I don't think we can play the sound because there's some issues in there, I think. But we had John Morosi. Well, at least John Morosi talked about it, and he was talking about free agents and where the Astros might head as far as additions. And he mentioned Willie Adames. He was one of the guys that he thinks the Astros could go grab and he would fit. You could put, obviously, him at third if you want, and Peña at your short, and he kind of went down the list with Altuve at second. Still an opening at first, which is something we dealt with all year long. The lack of a everyday, legit Major League first baseman. Credit to John Singleton for filling in. He had some moments. He was better than I expected and better than he started out as this year. He wasn't good early. And certainly Jose Abreu overshadowed guys not being good at first base. And he got better. But overall, there's a problem there. And will it be a DeCenzo who plays there? Whitcomb has a chance to play third base. The Astros have some questions, but Adames becomes a player to look at if you believe in Morosi. So if we start to look at Willie Adames, he is a shortstop by trade, but as I said, Morosi thinks he can go play third. He's 29 years old. He is a guy who has multiple suitors. It's not just the Astros. You look at Ron League, mentioned as a target for the Blue Jays, the Braves, and the Red Sox. And he was okay last year. And the question is, how much is Jim Crane giving to a 29-year-old? Or why not just give your own 30-year-old the money? Like, what is Adames going to command, and is it worth it to give him what he's going to command as opposed to just giving it to Alex Bregman? Give it to the homegrown guy. Give it to the guy who has said, at least through media, through reports, that he's willing to stay. He'd welcome staying. It's just that you got to meet the contract demands. And will the 6 years, I believe $127 million that was reported as a projection, be enough to get him? And will Jim Crane think about matching it? I would prefer, if you're going to sign a third baseman and not give it to Whitcomb, just sign your own guy. I don't like them going after outside free agent position players right now, particularly guys who are going to command a real salary. I don't trust them. Not that Jeff Bagwell is going to be making this decision, but it seems like an easy option. You know what Bregman provides. You know what he means to that clubhouse. You know what he means to your future Hall of Famer. When Altuve is stumping for someone, you know he's serious. Just get it done. within reason. I don't know what Bregman's going to ask for. I don't think any of us know, considering what Boris will do to try to drive up his value. But if you can get it done, let's stop messing around. And I still got the timeline as I think this might not happen till mid-December, maybe January. But we'll see. All right. I'm about done. But let's meet AJ. AJ produced this show. AJ filled in for Sean. We know AJ has thoughts about the Rockets. Giannis would be great, but not if he has to give up Tari and Amen Thompson. Not both, along with Şengün, which is, I feel like, a starting point. AJ has been producing shows here. He does night duty when it comes to running, whether it be a game or one of the maybe an hour show, as opposed to the stuff we hear from, or you guys hear from 7 to 6. So let's break down AJ's fandom. We know he knows about the Rockets, so I'm going to put you down as a Rocket fan.
Yeah.
Are you one of those people who does this for a living and pretends to be a Texans fan, or are you actually a Texans fan? Because those exist.
I'm definitely not a Texans fan.
Not a Texans fan, so clear on that.
Yeah.
So then there are some that are very, very clear that they only talk about the Texans and care about them because the work, and that happens, where they're clearly a fan of a different team. I'm a fan of a different team, but I'm watching the Texans hoping they play well because I like to watch good football. If I'm going to watch them, I want to watch good football.
Right.
So, not a Texans fan. So, who are you a fan of? Don't say the Cowboys. Oh, it's the Cowboys.
Yeah, but I'm not a delusional one.
And that's how it all starts. They all clean it up by, hey, I'm a Cowboys fan,
serious.
But I'm not a crazy one.
I'm so serious. Like, I want them to lose every game the rest of the season so they can, yeah, I'm
who
so serious.
Who you want to draft? Who you want? Mike McCarthy fired, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I would, in a perfect world, I would love Ben Johnson. Man,
as your
because he could transform the offense for
got
sure.
Got it. So, you at 3-6? What are they? 3-6?
Yeah.
At 3-6, you're looking to go 3-14.
Yep.
You want the number one overall pick if you can get it, and you want Ben Johnson. The second part is reasonable. You want the number one overall pick for who?
I would say probably.
Who do you want?
I mean, probably Travis. I mean, if you have the number one pick, you got to draft him. But.
You want a 6 foot one under 190 corner?
No, but my thing is, I mean, Jenty would be a perfect fit too. But
that's
you're not going to draft exactly. So, like, if you get Travis and then maybe in the second round get a running back like Ollie Golden from Oklahoma State, that's kind of like a blueprint I would have there. But you know,
Do you think Travis Hunter plays both ways in the NFL?
I don't think so fully. I think they could, like, try him, like, sometimes. Not every snap, though, obviously.
Yeah, you're talking about, like, a Deion scenario?
Right. Yeah. Probably so.
Got it. So, Cowboy fan, Rocket fan. You're a Coug fan. You're a Cougar,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I graduated from U of H.
Okay, so there it is. So, if you want to know, AJ's miserable as an NFL fan. He'll be rooting against your team tonight. Oh, actually, take it back. He'll be rooting for the Texans because he wants his team to lose.
It'll be the most Texans thing ever if the Texans lost. Oh, my gosh, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I think they're going to win. I think it should be a comfortable win. But yeah. I say that, but still knowing it's the NFL and things get rough and things get sticky a little bit. And who knows how this game will play out. Just protect your quarterback. Don't let Micah Parsons ruin this game.
Yeah.
If Micah Parsons is a threat to ruin this game, that means you haven't game planned well enough because there's not a lot else out there. Now, your offensive line is bad. They don't pick up stunts. And Michael will rush from outside to inside. That's something he's very good at. The Cowboys will play games, get him loose. Just don't let him wreck this game. If you don't let him wreck this game, you win this game. And that's all there is to it. You're even maybe lacking a little confidence, you're good enough to put this Cowboys team away early. You just got to be concerned that maybe one of the best athletes that we have in the league as far as defensive linemen slash rush ends, if you want to call them that, or just a edge player, is on the other side. Find a way. No turnovers, obviously. Shouldn't be said. And keep him away from C.J. Stroud. Let them meet after the game. The closest he should get to C.J. is the dap after the game. Set him up for a podcast. Interview after the game, whatever it might be. Since they can't talk during the week, I'm sure they will talk after.
I'm so tired of that podcast, man. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah, you're a Cowboy fan. You can't like the Micah Parsons podcast. Understood. Win some more games, and listening to that podcast would feel a lot better. But you're rooting for losses, and I hope you get your wish tonight. Okay, we are done for the day. Gallant and George up next, followed by the Killer Bees. And since we're done, AJ, what does that mean we did?
We did it!
Take note, Sam. Take note. Don't shake your head. that needs to be played when you're producing the show. We did it.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.